We welcome everyone in the name of the Lord this afternoon. And before we open God's holy word, let's petition him in prayer. O Majesty, we truly bow before thee, O God. We've exalted our voices in praise, Father. We bow our heads and our hearts in reverence as we anticipate a reading of Scripture, then bowing the knee in allegiance. Father God, you reign supreme, and even in this afternoon, we know our frailty, and we look to you, O God, from whence our help cometh. So be with us in this hour that we have devoted to scripture reading, to we have devoted to spiritual uplifting, that Father, weak flesh cannot provide. In fact, you, God, have to make the increase. You, God, need to put energy and strength into earthen vessels of clay to quicken them and to make them alive. Do that this afternoon, O God. We have the faith. We've exalted you in your name in praise. And Father, we ask that with humble hearts, you would make this true in each one of our lives. For we ask all these favors in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm very thankful for the message this morning. Surely Brother John didn't know that he would quote scripture from what the Lord laid on my heart this week. If we would turn together to the book of Philippians, also Paul's letter to the Philippians, and we will read together chapter 4. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they may be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known of God, unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere And in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now, ye Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor, a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. And what motivates you? What motivates me? What is the vehicle which drives some of our decision making in each of our lives? Spiritual and carnal. We all have tasks to do. We all have responsibilities in some sort, whether at school or work or at home. What's the driving factor that pushes us to make a decision, that spurns us to go a specific direction? As the human experience has involved so many feelings, sometimes we're motivated by our feelings. The world tells us to follow those feelings and to follow those impulses that we have, and that they're good and that we should pursue them, and that nobody else should tell us that how we feel is incorrect. Not only that, but others should validate our own feelings. So this afternoon I ask the question, is that correct? Is it true? Should we be motivated by our feelings, how we feel? Or is there something that transcends our feelings? Is there something greater than just how I feel that should motivate me to a specific decision or a task? Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Philippi, the Philippians. They were motivated by their love for him. And he says here in verse 10, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again. You know, maybe when they even didn't feel like providing for Apostle Paul at a distance while he was in Thessalonica, the Philippians did it anyway. You and I are faced with those same things. Many of us here are mature, or think we are or should be mature. And I thought about what does it mean to be mature as opposed to immature? And here, thinking about our feelings, which all of us have, we can't avoid them. And sometimes what we have to do, what we know we should be doing, that would be the differentiation for maturity and immaturity. I think of my kids as they're young. They really put up a fight when they don't want to do something, don't they? And they're only motivated when they want to do something immaturity. I reflect on my own spirituality when I feel convicted, when the Holy Spirit is telling me to do something, and I say, Lord, I don't want to do that. Immaturity. The church here in Philippi, and Apostle Paul is telling us and talking and spurning us to be mature. That sometimes our feelings need to be put aside, and we need to act on what we know we should do. Many times that involves helping others, giving, either monetarily or our time. I don't know if anyone reaches the point of full maturity in their whole life where they're always just doing what they should be doing and putting aside what they want to do all the time. But in this human experience, this journey that we're all on, there's going to be times where we need to be awakened, lifted up, and encouraged. When this world is just telling us, bombarding us to focus on our feelings and how you feel. Scripture transcends that. In Proverbs chapter 28, verse 26, at the end of this chapter, it says, He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. Follow your heart, the world says. What is your heart telling you to do is what you'll hear. But what does Scripture say? Scripture says that our heart is deceitfully wicked. In Jeremiah, we can read in Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17, verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? But here is the good news. The Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. As the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches and not by right, shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool. You see, we can't trust what the word is telling us, even about our feelings or about our heart. So where do we go? Where should we look to? There's only one way. There's only one place. Our emotions of anger, our feelings of happiness, even of sadness, of jealousy, and of fear and disgust. And these are all emotions and feelings that are part of the human experience. But there is a state of mind, a tapping in to the Holy Spirit, and building of a relationship with Jesus Christ that transcends even those feelings. For instance, happiness is something that's really fleeting. It comes and goes, and there are those that just chase one element of happiness to the other. Well, as we've all experienced, happiness doesn't last forever. Sadness of a loss of a loved one comes, and it comes quickly. So what then should a Christian do? Scripture calls us to be joyful. Joy is not necessarily an emotion, but a state of mind that the Bible calls us to. Calls us to be joyful in the time of sorrow. You see, these elements totally oppose what our flesh desires. Because even in time of sadness, to say you're joyful, to give God thanks and to give Him praise, that's the call. That's the evidence. And that's the motivation by which God's people are to act. Many times we're fearful. We don't know what the future will hold. The fear of the unknown. And Scripture calls us to a mind of trusting. Trusting in the Lord. Apostle Paul, as he wrote in what we learned this morning, he trusted in that resurrection. He didn't say, brothers and sisters, I feel as if we will be buried in a corruptible state and rise again incorruptible. He said, I trust. He said, I know. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, this will be. He put his feelings aside. As he wrote, he knew when to be brought up, when to be brought down low, when to be abased. He knew in all things to give thanks. There may be only some of us who have been in chains in a prison. I know I have, not definitely, far from it. And if Apostle Paul, being a man beaten, coming within an inch of his life, being shipwrecked, being betrayed in maybe the worst way, suffering a thorn in his flesh, if that brother can say, I give thanks in all things, then I can put my trust in the God that he serves. I can put my trust in the saving grace of Jesus Christ that he professes. Because then we find it to be true in our own lives. While I was converting, there was this idea of, have you experienced peace? Do you have peace yet? Andrew, in your counseling, you've been counseling for a while. Have you received peace? And I was looking for this mystery peace that would come upon me and that I would look and search, and I didn't have peace yet. What is it? What is this peace? And I was told, you'll know when you get it. You'll peace, peace. Then I turned to Romans. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there may be some of you who have started on a journey. You've decided that you want to relinquish sin. And you're sick and tired of following your feelings. And the next high that's coming down the road. And just looking for one step to another step, only to be left wanting. Only left feeling disgusting and dirty at the end of that. And you're left in disarray. And then you search for peace. And you think this peace is this mysterious thing that's going to come upon you, similar to some feeling that comes and goes. But my soul, peace is the knowledge of God, knowing that you are justified by your faith. I don't want to necessarily this evening talk negatively about all of our feelings. Because throughout my Christian experience, I felt incredible feelings of joy and happiness and euphoria. There was a time when I was driving in my car and a song came on that I knew, that we sang at Eastern Camp. And the peace was overwhelming. And I believe that those songs that come into our hearts, those scriptures that come into our minds, that those are from God. But if we keep looking for the next time that that's going to happen and neglect the spiritual truths, the spiritual foundations, we might be leaving something behind. Or we might be leaving something out. So in this afternoon, as we think about this letter to the Philippians, and oftentimes how our feelings will let us down, or how we think something is going to play out, the call and the encouragement would be to give total and utter submission to God and for His honor and glory on whatever comes our way. Because sometimes our life might not feel very peaceful. And it's in those times that God is asking us, and He is putting us in a position to say, what's motivating this decision? And that wake-up call, and then that moment, is an opportunity. An opportunity to come to the foot of the cross. An opportunity to be humbled. And an opportunity to grow in spirit and in truth. Because like peace, joy, long-suffering, fruits of the Spirit, as we read in Galatians, those, as even Brother Robert concluded this morning, are acts of participation. They're elements of characteristics that we put on. Our flesh refuses it. I remember our little ones, when we would get them dressed, they would fight tooth and nail. But the parent knows what's right. And God is also asking us to put on these elements. Sometimes we fight tooth and nail, don't we, brothers and sisters? Friends, it's the last thing that our flesh wants to do, to submit to this, to our God, and to put aside our feelings and to act upon something we should do. Even in the last baptism that we just had, souls professed that they were completely convinced, in full faith, they believed. They put aside their feelings. They put aside what they wanted to do. And they submitted to the Holy Spirit and they said, "Lord, I will follow." In that following, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, when Jesus called them and said, come follow me, it's a total relinquishing of self. And when Jesus, when he sent out the disciples two by two, giving them only specific items to take, forcing them to be completely reliant on what God would provide them through other brothers and sisters. Much like the church in Philippi, God is calling us to do that same thing. God is calling us to not only submit to each other, as Apostle Paul submitted, so his brothers and sisters would be able to exercise their faith, but also to look and to seek and to see where those moments of help we can be used in service. So in this afternoon, this challenge, I feel to me first, let God give us this, let us openly with open hearts receive this grace that he has given to us. And that our eyes would be open to areas around us that we could be used to further his kingdom. And to know that sometimes our feelings might let us down. But let us be sure in biblical principles and trust that God is in control. That he is working his will. And that, think about this, that his desire is to use you and me to fulfill it. This co-laboring together is a beautiful relationship. But in order to enter in this relationship, in order to trust, in order to experience full joy, in order to gain in knowledge, in order to be part of the future resurrection, you need to participate. You need to come to the foot of the cross. You need to submit your feelings. You need to submit yourself. And you need to look to the Word for strength, for guidance, and for direction. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, may we all seek His face, seek His will, and His direction for our lives. May the Lord bless this word in our hearts.
The Spirit spoke to me this afternoon, this morning, and I hope as well as to everyone else. Verse number 6 we read, be careful of nothing. When I think to myself, do I really stand to that ask or commandment? Can I really not be careful or anything, not to worry about tomorrow? What is tomorrow going to bring? How are we going to survive? How are we going to get things done that we have planned? I can say for myself that I'm guilty here. We've been always told to get ready. We were taught in schools to get ready for our future, to do these things so we can have easier future, or not do these things so it doesn't get hard. Does it really mean that if I trust the Lord, if I'm doing everything right according to the books of this world, that I'm really not going to have any struggles in my life? We all know that that's not so. But we're instructed here not to be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. For everything in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Do we have that faith? Do we have that faith really that I shouldn't be worried about tomorrow? What I should be worried is written in verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, and of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think of these things. This is what we need to worry about, that our life is built on these characteristics. David, in his Psalm number 37, verse 25, says, I have been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaking for his, nor his seed being begging bread. Sorry. If you look for the righteousness, if you look to please the Lord in these things that He's telling us to build ourselves on, we do not need to worry about anything. We know the widow who was poor. He didn't worry about anything when she gave her last two mites, her living, for those who need it, maybe more. Are we going through this life, dear ones, feeling defeated? Maybe if I don't have more than my brother does, or at least if I don't have as well as my brother does. Do we feel defeated? Do we feel down? Is our faith built on these earthly possessions? Or am I ready to give to those who need it more? Even if I don't have, there's always someone who needs it more than I do. This is what I believe Apostle Paul is teaching us in this chapter, and not only in this chapter, throughout the whole scriptures. We have examples. Apostle Paul, he was working. He was tent making so he can survive, so he's not a burden to others. He wasn't building himself a kingdom on this earth. Neither should we. What we need to worry is that we build our kingdom in heaven. Build those things that will glorify the Lord. Those things that are going to help my brother or my sister in need. And for all these dear ones, we do need help from the Lord. If you live for Him, if you trust Him with all our heart, if you don't worry about tomorrow, we'll be able to live according to His will and to His glory. May the Lord bless these words upon our hearts. Amen.